Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, say it quietly, or in your case, sing it from the flipping rooftops.
We are top of the league. See, we are top of the league.
Tottenham Hotspur are top of the league. Big Ange, will I, what is it? We're loving big. I must have heard that from at least three different Spurs.
It's just
like Robbie Williams' Angels suddenly shooting to the top of the Spotify charts because all the Spurs fans are out there singing it. He's got them ticking. He's got them ticking. And Arsenal as well. Can't be... We've obviously got to talk about that as well. But for now, bask, Sam from FPL Family, in the glory that is Spurs unbeaten top of the league.
For 2 weeks.
International break is here, guys. We're all going to take a collective breath.
We're going to take a little break
from FPL, which maybe we all need. I don't know. I feel like I've got a bit of momentum, actually. I feel like I don't need the break. But as a few of you out there, I'm sure, are thinking... We need a bit of a break. But for two solid weeks, you Spurs fans can go, we're top of the league and they bloody deserve to be there. Very, very good.
It's a great time to be alive.
I thought you were going to say it's a great time to be a Spurs fan. It's just a great time to be alive. Just alive.
I'll tell you.
Go on, you tell me.
When Spurs play well, yeah. Well, you know, everyone knows this, right? When your team is doing well,
yeah,
everything else in the world is better.
It's all good. Yeah, it's all good.
Nothing bothers you that much. Blank for Diaby, so what?
Whatever.
Blank Haaland, for Alvarez, whatever. Who cares? Matty Cash going off with no clean sheet, whatever.
I'll tell you
Spurs
what.
Spurs top the league. Thank you.
That is true. It does take, like, if you have a bad FPL week, you need your team to do well, don't you? And vice versa. If Spurs or Liverpool have a howler,
you have to get...
You need a decent FPL week. In those weekends where you have neither, they're hard, aren't they? They're very difficult. And in the weekends where you have both... Sam from FPL Family, another very good week. And Spurs doing well. It's a good weekend. So
and
you're happy.
A good result for the Tigers this morning.
A good result for London Colney Youth Tigers. That's all good, right? All good. Happy days. Well, listen, guys. Thank you for joining us here on FPL Family this evening. We are, as usual, going to talk through as many of the games as we can get through. We're going to look at our scores on our overall ranks and see how we got on. In particular, Sam, how your wild card got on. Played the wild card going into game week 8. So let's see how that... bringing in a certain Egyptian king, I think went pretty well for you. We're going to talk about that a bit later on. And a load of all the usual stuff. We've also got a manager of the month to crown as well. So we've got a manager of the month winner, a Patreon winner to talk about as well. But let's, before we do any of that, Sam,
Apologize for being late. We're sorry we're late.
We are a little bit later
Lee's
than usual.
Been swanning around.
Yes, I was at the Arsenal game today, Arsenal City, which was, well, listen, we'll talk about it later on. Wasn't the best game.
Until about 86 minutes. And it
wasn't a great game, but I'll talk through why I thought it wasn't a great game later on, because those runs in the channel that Saka and Martinelli make missed them massively in the first half. There wasn't that threat in behind. City could afford to defend with a high line and just pressed him in. But anyway, listen, more on that a bit later on. Nigel the Crab, as usual, Cyberdet is here,
Simon.
Mate. How are you, mate? Nice to see you. 19 months he's been a member here of the FPL Family channel. So if you want to be a complete nutter like Simon and join us for 19 months, you can hit the little join button next to the subscribe button. So thank you, Simon, for being here for 19 months as a member.
Why are we calling him Simon? We never call him Simon.
What do you want to call him?
Si. Well, that's what we normally call him.
I bet his mum calls him Simon when he's in trouble.
I bet he's probably sitting there thinking, why am I in trouble?
Sorry, mate. 19 months of my inane waffle, Bonfields. And it is inane waffle, and that's what we like to...
We like that in the FPL family
Yeah,
household.
We like to offer up a bit of inane waffle, don't
we?
Yeah. I've had an awful week in my personal life. Sorry to hear that, mate. But for once, FPL has made everything better. 69 points, 1.9 million, up to 500k. Si, we love you, mate. Sorry that you're going through a bit of a bad time personally. But as you say, FPL making up for that, more than making up for that. That is a hell of a rank jump. And the rank jumps, as you can see from Si's post there, guys, it is still on, right? It's still on. If your rank is not where you want it to be, do not worry. The game is still very, very tight.
Have no
very,
fear.
Very tight game. There's loads. Listen, 8 weeks in, We're not even a quarter of the way in. I was trying to do some live maths there. Not even a quarter of the way in, guys. Loads to go. Who else have we got? We've got the Smiths, 1986. Azzy, how are you doing, mate? Very nice to see you. You've missed the new camera angles on Sky. Is there this new camera angles
on
Sky?
Why can't I speak? They were gameplay camera angles. So basically, it was like playing FIFA.
Oh, okay.
That's the view you'd get if you were playing.
Did you watch those camera angles, or did they offer them up as part of the broadcast, or did you have to press the red button?
You had to press the button, yeah.
Press the red button. Okay. Well, listen, for the FIFA playing generation, it's maybe not a bad option. Quite like it. Don't mind it.
I'm a bit old school. I was too busy looking for you in the crowd. Can
me and
I see
you,
leave from FPL family?
We are a bit old school, Sam. We're a bit old school.
That's because we're old.
It's because we're old. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there'll be loads of Gen Z out there listening into the podcast and watching the YouTube going, bloody love those camera angles, just like playing FIFA.
I'm sure they were great, actually. I just, I was at the time that I was dealing with this stuff, I was dealing with the kiddies and everything else. Yeah. And I thought, right, no, I just... Basics, thanks.
Tanky is in, he's saying, was so weird. Well, there we go. Tanky's probably like us, probably in his 40s.
Excuse me, I'm not in my 40s.
Close enough. Daniel Banks, good evening, mate. Nice to see you.
We've got rudeness.
John Tyner is in. I'm down from 188k to 317. Listen, John, 317, mate, that is not bad. That is still an okay place to be, given that we're coming into the first international break of the season. So it's not a bad place to be. Warwick Scott is in. How are we doing, Warwick? Very nice for you to meet. For you to meet Warwick, wasn't it, last week? So Warwick joined us at the Zoom Patreon tier and had his first Zoom call with Sam. 61 points he got after taking Haaland out of my... Did you suggest taking Haaland out of his wildcard team?
No. I didn't suggest taking him out. We discussed the pros and cons of it, and Warwick was very keen on the idea of it, and I was like, well, look, as long as you know the risks...
And he still did it. Good effort, Warwick. Love it. I'm interested to hear what you... So the Haaland sellers, for sure, got the rubber to green this week, right?
Yeah.
I think his XG, combined XG, was something like 0.08 or something I saw online. Ridiculous, right? And if you believe some of the XG models, it was a big fat zero. But decent fixture next week at home. Rodri back. It'd be a different game. It'd be a different Man City. We've also got Duncan Crawford. How are we doing, mate? Very nice to see you. Another one of our patrons. All the patrons in as usual, guys. Thank you for coming and supporting us. We've got another one of our new patrons. Kenan is in. The note, Haaland has started well. It has so far, Kenan. But you never know. I can't help but feel... It's only a matter of time before he goes mental again and gets two or three. But, you know, listen, for now, this week, you're okay. You're okay. Kieran Newlands is in. Thank God for Mo. I think we're all thinking that had Mo. 55 points and Salah got 30 of them. So, Kieran, nice Salah captaincy, mate. In a week where there was a lot of options, Salah was definitely the one to go for. Definitely the one to go for. We've got, who else? Merck is in. Sean. We've got Jen. We've got Nelson. A whole host of you guys in. So guys, lots of new names there. So guys, if you're in and you are new to FPL family, welcome. Lovely to have you along. Hit that subscribe button if you're enjoying the stream. And for everybody else, make sure you hit that like button. Give us a like before you go this evening or at some stage during the show. So a quick shout out, very, very quick, because...
You've literally got 2 hours or so.
Literally, the Football Content Awards voting finishes at 11 tonight, is it?
11.59.
11.59 tonight. So we've only got a few hours to go, guys. If you haven't... Well, first of all, let me say, if you have voted for us in the Football Content Awards for 2023, thank you very much. Thank you, because... We are finalists in the Best in Fantasy Football video category, and we will be going up to Anfield in a few weeks' time to go and take part in the FCA's 2023. And if you haven't voted for us yet, we'd love you to do so. footballcontentawards.com/voting. All the links are in the description below. And as we mentioned last week, we're not going to go on about it too much this week because we did a massive segment on this last week. You can vote for us, FPL family, in the Best in Video category. And you can vote for the official FPL podcast, which you're a big part of, alongside Jules and Kelly, in the Best Podcast category. And you can vote for either Fantasy Football Scout or Fantasy Football Community in the Best in Editorial category. So if you get yourself over to footballcontentawards.com/voting, vote Sam in all the things. That was the hashtag that we got trending last week. Vote Sam in all the things. You can vote Sam in all the categories, guys. So there we go. The FCA's 2023. If you voted for us already, thank you very much.
Got my new dress, so and we're ready.
If you haven't voted yet, vote Sam in all the things. Right, Sam, let's get on to these games. And I want to start with the lunchtime kickoff. Usually a boring game. This was anything but boring. Luton nil, Spurs 1. Talk to me. Spurs top of the league. Pedro Porro looking threatening on that side. Very pleased to have brought him in this week. Udogie looking threatening.
No, you should have started with this. What? This is not the thing you should have asked first what? About this game. Think about what happened in this game and think about how you should have started.
I was about to get to the other defender in the Spurs lineup. I don't want to go there, but if you want to start with that, Sam, be my guest.
Oh, he's so pretty, isn't he? Bless him. Mickey van der Ven.
The good-looking Mickey van der Ven in your team for a number of weeks. Since game week four, and you wildcarded him out.
Mickey, I'm so sorry.
What a stinker.
And the thing is, what a the stinker. Worst thing about this is, I said it, didn't I? We were driving home from Sky and I said, it's guaranteed Mickey van der Ven's going to get a goal today.
This is the week van der Ven gets his goal, you said. And I said, don't be ridiculous. Yeah. He's not even look threatening from set pieces.
I got home. My brother-in-law was looking, Lee's brother was looking after the kiddies for us when we went to Sky and we were chatting and I said, it's guaranteed it's going to be Mickey van der Ven today. And when he scored, the pair of them just looked at me and I didn't know whether to laugh, cry, celebrate or what. I basically just flopped onto the footstool that we have in our living room and just lay there going,
It was absolutely the best celebration. You know, so you guys will have all been there, right? When your team scores and then for some reason it's bad for your FPL, for whatever reason, you might have gone against, whatever, right? You were up, the Spurs in you kicked in first.
Yeah.
Yes, Van der Ven! Literally, it was the best celebration, non-celebration I've ever seen.
Made
it
worse was amazing. By the fact that about 3 or 4 minutes before that happened, I was chatting with Kelly and she was like, oh, by the way, I've got Van der Ven.
She bought it in, didn't she?
Because I couldn't afford Udogi. And I was like, so as soon as the goal went in, I was like, not only have I not got those 15 points, because he also got the three bonus points, but you now have benefited from that and it really, really hurt. But nonetheless, Mickey van der Ven looking like a legend. But what I would say about this game, and one of the reasons why I didn't captain Son in the end, even though you tried to persuade me for a good...
It was still a good... listen, I would not have put anybody...
You tried to persuade me for ages to do it, the captain Son thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I said to you, if I had Son in my team, I would have captained him this week, 100%. But I didn't, so I didn't. Well, but if I had him, I would have captained him, no doubt.
And I said on the Scout Q&A on Friday, I just didn't feel comfortable with it. And I couldn't... the back of my head was the Sheffield United game from a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
When they dug in, we really struggled to break him down. And it wasn't until the back end of the game that we finally managed to do it. My concern was if that happened again with the injury that Son's been carrying and with the fact that he wasn't pitching in any training until Thursday.
Is he carrying a little knock or something? Because he seems to keep getting bought off about him and Maddison, actually.
Yeah. No, Maddison's not carrying anything. But
they both bought off earlier the weekend.
But he changed it tactically, didn't he? Because we were struggling to deal with their set pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were down to 10, we were struggling from set pieces. I think otherwise Maddison would have stayed on.
Sure.
Son, I think, goes off early because he's carrying a little niggle and he's been carrying it for a couple of weeks now, since the North London derby. And I think for me, I just was a little bit concerned about that. And I hate captain in the 12:30. And mentally, and I'll be honest with you guys, I said to you, didn't I? I was really struggling with having three Spurs players and my team emotions. If
and
I'd
your captain.
Added my FPL captain to that, I was really worried. And the fact that I just don't like the 12:30 kickoffs. I just thought it's going to ruin me. It's going to ruin my day.
Yeah.
It'll ruin the whole day for me. And I couldn't leave it.
And you know what? The game was a weird game, wasn't it? Because as a Pedro Porro owner, I mean, listen, I'll ask you this question. Knowing what we know now at the end of this Luton game, rank the three Spurs FPL assets in order. Udogi, Porro and Van der Ven. Who would you say are 1, 2 and 3 right now?
Well, I don't think we should write Romero out, by the way.
All right, stick Romero in there then. Who's the top four then?
Actually,
stick the goalie in there as well. Because he's doing all right, isn't he?
Vicario's great.
Yeah,
I really like him.
I mean, say it quietly. On the way back from the Arsenal game today, I was looking at my FPL team and how I got on this week. I don't know. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud on a live stream, but I considered double Spurs defence, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I probably won't do it. But, you know, there is a case, I think, for going for Pedro Porro and Udogi together.
Did you just say that you're considering the double?
Answer me the question. Top five, then, in order. Who's number one?
Porro.
I agree. And despite not getting more than just the 6 this week, I think we saw enough from Pedro Porro. He had a very high XG chance early on, didn't he? Should have stuck that way.
Porro was the one I wanted on wildcard, but yeah. I wanted to leave money for Saka because we'll talk more about my team later, but just in case. After that, I think it's actually tougher to call. So in my view, Udogi is still second, but only just second.
Yeah.
From Vicario, probably, because of his save potential as well as the bonus points. He's really racks up the bonus point underlying numbers.
Okay, I didn't know that. Let's have a look where he was. Yeah, 26. Okay, so what did he get? A bonus point? He did get a bonus point. Yeah. Okay.
He scores quite highly in that in the bonus point area because he makes a lot of saves. So there's always the potential there for that. And he's involved with the play because the way we play out from the back, his pass completion numbers are good and that.
Yeah.
He's basically what we thought Onana might be, but isn't.
Yeah. More on him later.
And then it's Van de Ven and Romero. The one thing I would say about Van de Ven is that at 4.5, you won't regularly get a goal, as we've learned. You know, it's taken 8 game weeks to get there. And I think over the next 8 game weeks, he'll be outscored by both Udogi and by Pedro Porro. But if that 0.3, or 0.4 now, I think it is, because Udogi's gone up, I think, to 4.9.
Yeah.
If that 4.4 makes a big difference to your team, then I do think that you can go with Van de Ven instead.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Well, let's have a look at the reason we're so hot on Spurs going forward. Not only are they top of the league, but they don't look too bad in the fixture
difficulty rating. I love it that you keep saying that we're top of the league. I can't stop smiling about it.
Yeah, well, listen, on the Fantasy Football Scout fixture difficulty rating, Spurs are halfway down, but that's only because I've extended it to 6 weeks, and in the sixth of those weeks, in game week 14,
you're
up against City away. But for the next five, Fulham, Palace, Chelsea, Wolves, Aston Villa at home. Now, Villa are no mugs, right? But still, that next four in particular are incredible for Spurs. And I have to say, I found it incredibly challenging. As a Sun non-owner, I did not enjoy the game because I knew that he had reasonably high ownership. Spurs were looking threatening for most of the game. But I have to say, it was the moments... The goal is a moment... Now, Van de Ven's there to tap it in. Brilliant. Well done, mate. But it's can't get my words out. A moment of magic from Maddison.
The magician.
Easy to say, isn't it? A moment of magic from Maddison again, where he drops the shoulder, beats the guy for pace down the along the goal line, and just like lays it off. Absolutely brilliant from Maddison. Tell me about the impact of Bissouma missing out, though. So I don't want to, so much positive to take from a Spurs perspective out of where you are in the league and that game and everything, because we saw a side of Big Ange's teams there. That was grit that got you through that game in the end. It was grit. But he'd been a bit of a silly boy, Bissouma, and he's gone and dived and got himself sent off. Do you think that that changes the Spurs dynamic massively over these next few games that he's suspended? Or does a Højbjerg or a Bentancur, if he's fit, come in and you just stay with the same system? Because you've got strength and depth in that position.
We have. Bentancur, I don't think, is going to be ready yet. He originally was due back in November. I do think he'll be early.
Yeah.
But I think the first game back after international break is probably going to be too early.
Right.
We've also got a kid who's much more like Bissouma in terms of speed and pace, which is something that Højbjerg doesn't have.
Mm.
So we could play him in that position instead. My suspicion is he'll play Højbjerg there.
Yeah.
Brought Højbjerg on, and I actually thought Højbjerg did a decent enough job in that place. You know what you're going to get with Højbjerg? He's going to be rock solid. He's going to sit and protect the defence, which is what you need. It will probably mean that Pape Sarr is more attacking of the two.
Would no Bissouma put you off bringing in a... Or say you had no Spurs defenders and you want to bring one in.
No.
Or, like, I'm thinking of maybe doubling up. Mm-hmm. Would Bissouma not be in there, put you off with any of that?
No.
It wouldn't me either. I think if it might put me off the double, but if I didn't have a Spurs defender, I'd be looking to bring one in, I think, pretty quickly. Yeah. And I think it'd be Porro if I could afford it.
Yeah, I agree. It wouldn't put me off. I think we've got good replacements and good understudies in that position. So it's not... I mean, it's not ideal, don't get me wrong.
Silly boy, wasn't he? Reminded me of Jota the previous week.
He's just stupid. Yeah. He's just had a moment of absolute stupidity. And it's unlike Bissouma to be like that, because he's normally very cool, very calm,
collected. Ever going to ground.
No, yeah, right. It's very unlike him. So I don't know what went through his mind. It's just really, really silly.
Mm.
It is what it is. He gets himself sent off. Annoyingly, now he's had a red card, so he stays in his four yellows, so he could come back from the red, get booked again, and then be out again, which is...
Is that how it works?
Yeah, because it was a red, not a yellow. Two yellows equal red.
Oh, okay.
So now he stays on for a yellow card. Sure. So if Dewey's suspension,
that, yeah.
come back, if picks gets up booked, another yellow, he's off again. So, but Bentancourt, as you quite rightly point out, is due back. It was, like I say, supposed to be November. He is back in on the ground outside training now, which I'm so excited about that because he makes the world a difference.
He
now
was a top player for you last season. He was our best player. He's not featured at all, is he, this year?
No,
so
did his ACL, didn't he? He was our absolute best player last season. Yeah. Above Kane. I put him above Kane. He was absolutely outstanding. And when he got injured, our season fell apart. Mm. That was the moment where everything changed for Spurs. That's when we started really on the decline. So for me, him coming back can only be a really positive thing. It's not quite happening yet, I don't think. So I don't think Basuma will make a world of difference. It would not put me off investing in the defence if you haven't already done so. Mm. I don't know how I feel about the defensive double up. And the only reason I say that is because there are other teams with nice fixtures who I think you might want to invest in alongside.
Okay.
But what I will say, and there was a conversation I was in on our Slack channel with our patrons earlier, there was a debate about where you go from game week 10, because obviously in game week 10 the Arsenal fixtures massively swing for the better. So if you wanted to invest, if you don't have a Saka, for example, and you want to get someone back, there was a conversation about, do you keep the Spurs double up and who do you keep? For me right now, Madison is the essential pick from Spurs over Son.
It feels like it, doesn't it? It feels like it. I have to say, although it was uncomfortable not having Son and watching that game, I think if I was a non-Madison owner, I'd be even less comfortable. I mean, he's just, we say it every week, he's just the heart of everything. And he's the reason you won that game, right? Because it was a moment of magic. Anybody could have been there to tap it in. It was Van de Ven for some reason. But the way that he made it, Madison, was brilliant. So yeah, I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. All right, let's move on, Sam. Good result for Spurs, top of the league. Also, joint top of the league up there, right with you. And I think on the same goal difference, by the way. So I think you are currently first on the fact that you've got fewer yellow cards. Have I got that right? I'm sure I saw Spurs and Arsenal both 20 points.
Both 10. Plus 10.
Both plus 10 goal difference. And so therefore it comes down to disciplinary record. I don't know. I don't know. Well, it's not alphabetical, is it? Otherwise, you'd be second.
Even
so,
with our red card yesterday.
Arsenal 1, City 0. I'll give my view from the stands in a bit. But what was it like watching it on TV? Go on,
so
give us your
dull.
Hmm.
It was
go on.
Honestly the dullest football match I've watched this year.
Right, okay.
And I sat there on my own, because both the kids lost the plot with it within about 5 minutes, because it was uninteresting. So they'd gone off to do something else, and I was sitting there watching it, and there just was no... So Man City massively miss Rodri. Massively miss Rodri.
Understatement of the year, yeah.
They miss him so badly.
Back next week, right?
Back next week. The creativity was lacking for them today. They had a few moments where I thought maybe they might get somewhere, but Saliba did a Craig Dawson and dealt with Haaland in a really effective and great way. Mm. But then from an Arsenal perspective, they were also lacking because they really missed Saka and Martinelli. So it was just one of those games. Had it ended 0-0, I wouldn't have been surprised, because going forward, neither side were great. Martinelli made a difference for sure when he came on. And his shot was on target, so he gets the goal. Kai Havertz gets the assist. But it takes a wicked deflection and...
Yeah, okay, it's just unfortunate, isn't it, to be honest? Yeah. It's unfortunate.
But no, it wasn't the best game I've ever watched, but credit to Arsenal, because they had a game plan and they executed it really well.
Yeah.
They dealt with the threats, they dealt with Haaland, they dealt with Alvarez, they basically nullified the threat of the City attack, which that takes a lot.
It does.
To nullify
the City
attack. So the fact that they've done that, they've kept their first home clean sheet of the season, it was impressive what Arsenal did today, if a little bit boring.
I think from my perspective, it felt less boring at the stadium,
well,
because obviously you're part of it. It felt a bit more like a chess game. I haven't looked at the stats, but it felt like a very low XG game from both perspectives. A real lack of natural width for both until Martinelli comes on and until Doku comes on for City. And then there's a little bit of natural width and a bit of space in behind. And in particular, from Arsenal's perspective, listen, I think Nketiah is a decent player. I like Trossard as well. But even the Arsenal fans I was with were saying, you know, Trossard, no good when he starts. He's an impact player. He's best off the bench. And they just didn't have that speed in behind. And they've got Gabby Jesus on the other side, who, for all he is not super quick, is he?
No.
And actually, whenever the ball went out to his side, he actually was a best Arsenal player, I thought, aside from maybe Declan Rice. Actually, centre-half's played well as well. Them two, by the way, Gabriel and Saliba, they are decent.
They are
decent, I'm telling you. I know they've got Chelsea away coming up next, but if you look at these Arsenal fixtures...
Would you be worried about them going to Chelsea?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. Because if I look at it, some people would go, okay, well, I might not go back into Arsenal because it's Chelsea away. Then it's Sheffield United. All right, Newcastle's difficult. Burnley, Brentford, Wolves. I'm getting an Arsenal defender next week, and it's probably going to be Gabriel after
because
the international
he's
break. Well, he's cheap. Yeah, I don't see enough of a difference between Gabriel and Saliba to warrant paying the extra
0.4, 0.5,
whatever it is, right? And Zinchenko's good as well. Ben White's good as well.
Ben White's more expensive.
But Gabriel, for 4.7, is a steal, I think. It's a steal.
Agree.
The both of them are like, Saliba, I've obviously been to a few Arsenal matches recently. He is, like, Rolls Royce.
He's quality.
He is Rolls Royce, Saliba. He's everything. And I've said this before, he reminds me of, like, Virgil, when Virgil was peak Virgil. Because he's not at the minute, is he? But he was a few years back. That's what Saliba reminds me of. Arsenal got a very, very good defence. And also Thomas Partey coming back makes a big difference for them.
Massive.
Him coming on in the second half alongside Gabriel, because Partey can find those passes in particular. I think if Arsenal can get Rice, Partey and Odegaard as that midfield three, fit, consistently playing, and of the three of them, you've got to say Partey's the one that they need to keep fit and consistent, then they'll be laughing. First half, they didn't have the pacing behind. Eddie Nketiah, it's difficult, isn't it? You're up against Diaz, you're up against Ake, it's difficult. You've got Jesus and you've got Trossard. Neither of them are blessed with a lot of pace. So there was no threat in behind. City could hold that high line on the halfway line, knowing that if the ball goes behind them, they back themselves for pace against them three, and they did. So from that perspective, it got... City were kind of like... It was almost like a bit of one of them kind of like slow... You know, trap doors. You know, it was like they were pushing, squeezing Arsenal without ever really doing the creative bit. You're right, in the final third. And Haaland very ineffective, really. And Julian Alvarez was picking up bits of pockets of spaces. But because the game wasn't that expansive and it was very narrow as a game, Julian Alvarez didn't have those. The pockets were harder to find.
That makes sense.
So,
yeah, it does.
Listen, I think it was a bit, I think it's a bit game state. I think it's a bit of a one-off game. Rodri coming back, the fixtures for City look really good, the fixtures for Arsenal look really good. I think if that game had been a draw today, both teams would have gone, all right, no problem, we take a draw, we go on and we'll see how we go. But Arsenal get the victory and you hand it to Arteta, you're right, there was a game plan. He bought Martelli on, Martelli made a big difference and it comes off Aki's nose. And even Havertz, I thought, did all right as well. But it was Thomas Partey that really made the difference. So anyway, from an FPL perspective, despite that now being two back-to-back defeats for City... When was the last time we said that in the Premier League? I genuinely don't remember.
And in the League Cup, it's 3-4.
And in the League Cup, yeah. So it's only in Europe that they sort of stopped that rot a little bit. But I don't, for a minute, see me selling either Haaland or Alvarez yet. I really don't. The Brighton game, I think, has got goals. Then it's United, given the way that they're out. We'll talk about
Brighton
them in a minute.
Do not have, and one thing I will say is I get that last week we sat here and we talked about how great Craig Dawson was. This week we've sat here and we've said how great Saliba and Gabriel were.
Yeah.
And how well those defence have dealt with Haaland. What I will say is that Brighton defence has nobody that can deal with that.
Yeah.
They're defensively Brighton all over the place at the moment.
And then it's potentially Maguire and Evans.
All
in game
over
week
the
10.
Place at the moment.
And then it's Bournemouth.
All over the place.
Yeah.
So
you ain't selling your City. Listen, you ain't selling your City. And there was a little bit of...
So people have sold Haaland. My view is...
Well, one of them's in tonight. I don't know if you've noticed. Mr. Raptor has joined us. Hello, Raptor. How are you, mate? Nice to see you.
If you've sold Haaland, though, Ross, I'd be worried going into the next few weeks.
This week, you've won the battle, Ross.
Maybe not the war.
Can you win the war? I don't know. Those next three, let us know in the chat, Raptor, what you think. Because genuinely this week, yeah, good choice. But I don't know. Their next three look unreal, don't they?
It said more about Saliba and Arsenal than it did about Haaland.
Yeah. Well, there we go. 1-0 to the Arsenal as they were singing plenty, plenty.
We're back in those days.
During the week. And if Martinelli is going to be fit, just a last word on this game then. Martinelli, if he's now going to be fit and firing with those fixtures coming up, you fancy a little switch over to him?
Maybe. Yeah. Easier to afford.
Well, listen, I've got a certain Mbeumo in my team that I do want rid of, sharpish. And despite wanting to go to a West Ham midfielder, namely Jared Bowen, I could be tempted there, you know. I could be tempted to Martinelli. I'd have to find a little bit of money, but I think I could find it somewhere. And I've got two free transfers, so I don't mind getting back on Martinelli early.
Bergevin's a bit cheaper than before ever... Pedro Porro.
I'll get rid of Porro. Ah, I was well impressed with Porro. I'm not getting rid of Porro. He looks great. He
Your
looks
love
great.
Affair with Pedro Porro rumbles on.
He's brilliant. He's really, really good. We had a super chat, Sam, from way back here from Joseph Maloney. Thank you, Joseph, for the super chat. He says, evening, Samily. Hey, Joseph.
Hiya.
Not the best game week, another red. Listen, be plenty of people in that situation, Joseph. Plenty of people. At least Darwin... And Pedro Porro returns. So much love for Pedro Porro tonight. I love it. So Joseph is absolutely right. Let's talk about Darwin then. Let's go there. Because I didn't see much of this game, obviously, because I was travelling to the Arsenal game. Did you watch it on the TV?
Yes.
What did you make of it? I've watched some highlights, by the way, so I can give some commentary, I think. But I'm interested in your opinion.
So defensively, there was a lot of conversation last week about, you know, the Liverpool defence. Should you get on a Liverpool defender? At the moment, the very clear answer is no. The Liverpool defence is not great at the moment. Brighton,
so many individual errors still.
Constantly. Still. Constantly.
It's like there was two today. I mean, the first goal, and genuinely all I've seen is like a 3 minutes highlights package on YouTube. But the first goal, it's all right. There's a bit of finger pointing at McAllister, and he's getting the rough end of the stick because he's back at the Amex. But Virgil's giving him a proper hospital pass. Like, why does he... He doesn't want that ball there, does he?
No.
So Virgil's not completely out of the woods in terms of blame. Alisson maybe could have got over there a
Alisson
bit quickly
should,
as well.
Should do better,
but I know that
in
he's,
my view.
I don't ever want to criticise the best goalkeeper in the world because he's the best goalkeeper
in the
world.
Have
you met Vicario? He's got somewhere to go for get Alisson levels. And then on the second one, the ball's coming in and that Robertson leaves it. And then the second defender sort of leaves it because he thinks Robbo's going to get it. And I'm just like, what are you doing leaving it? And Dunk's just like, thanks very much. Taps that in. So it was difficult one to take because individual errors. And then you've got the Gravenberch miss as well. You're like, bloody hell, we should have won this game. No? Brighton were good, were they?
Well, I mean, that's going somewhere as well.
Right.
I don't want to sit either side of that great, to be honest. Right. There was a lot of mistakes being made.
You had a fun day today watching these two games. It's both were rubbish.
This game was interesting.
Can't all be Spurs, Sam.
This game was a good watch. I enjoyed the Liverpool-Brighton game. We watched the first half of it down the gym. And it was a good game. It was interesting. Salah was great. Darwin, I thought he had quite a good game as well. He was in the right sort of places. But it was really all about Salah. And it goes back again. Luis Diaz had a couple, actually, where he probably could have done something with them. You have plenty of opportunities, just not really taking them unless you're Salah. And then Salah was clinical with what he was doing.
I was kind of surprised by the team sheet, I have to say. Because,
were you?
Well, obviously, Dom Szoboszlai's got to be in there because he's absolute class. And then he put Harvey Elliott in there. Now, Harvey, from what I've seen, limited that I've seen, did all right. And he did so well to get out of the way of the first Salah one. Yeah. Salah obviously gave a massive shout. And that's almost worth an assist from Harvey Elliott. But by playing those two, you then put in McAllister in the six.
Yeah.
Not his position.
He didn't like it there.
Not his position. And he can play there. But I think not only do you lose the opportunity to have McAllister as the double eight with Szoboszlai, but he's not good as a six. I was surprised not to see Endo actually today. I know that Gravenberch can play there, but I still think Klopp fancies Gravenberch as cover for one of the eights. I don't think he sees him as a six.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know that yet, really. But I thought Endo might play there today in that six.
Yeah,
and then put Dom and put McAllister in his preferred position, but he didn't. And I think that's what cost us the first goal.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree. I think for me, I went Salah on wildcard. I think you have to have him. And I know that for some managers out there, that's going to be a struggle now because you've wildcarded already. Genuinely, with the way that the Liverpool fixtures are for the next few weeks...
Well, let's take a look. You're right.
And with the way that Salah played today and Liverpool generally played today and the set-piece threat, obviously, you know, penalties, makes a big difference.
These Liverpool fixtures are... lip-smackingly good. I mean, you've got in game week 9 after the international break. Oh, what a shock, folks.
The lunchtime kickoff.
Liverpool have got the lunchtime kickoff after an international break. Shock of horrors. Everton at home, Forest at home, Luton away, Brentford at home. Then it's a trip to Manchester City on in 13. But even then, Fulham at home in 14. Anyone going without Mo Salah in this run is behind the sofa a lot.
I just don't think you can.
A lot.
I genuinely, you know, today I watched it and...
He's involved in everything still, isn't he?
Everything good. Yeah. Everything good that happens at Liverpool has Salah's name written somewhere on it. Whether it's winning the ball and passing it beautifully, whether it's converting the penalty, whether it's finishing the chances, whether it's organising the team and getting people in the right places, whether it's just knowing that that's where your team... Whatever is good there, we said it about Madison at Spurs, it's, Salah is the one at Liverpool. And yes, I get that he's expensive. And yes, I get that it means other sacrifices in your team, particularly if you want to have him alongside Haaland and you want Son and everybody else as well. But I genuinely don't think that you can cover Salah with any other Liverpool player.
Mm. I also think the fact that we've now got eights that break into the box, like Dom Szoboszlai, I noticed recently, he does a lot of, I don't want to make this comparison, but a lot of kind of Stevie G bursting into the box.
Oh, no pressure.
Well, and he's the eight as well, right? So no pressure, Dom, obviously. But he does break into the box. And what happens when you break into the box is you get fouled. Right, and you've got Luis Diaz, who's also a tricky customer on that left. You get fouled. Salah gets fouled. Nunes, a bit less so, maybe. But anyway, we've got players that don't mind getting a foul in the box now. And that means Salah's going to get pens.
And he'll
tuck them away. He'll tuck them away, no doubt about it.
I must admit, though, the last time I had Salah in my team, he missed the pen. I know he scored the rebound. And so when they got the penalty today, I was like, oh no.
No,
I hate it when my FPL, particularly when it's my captain, when my FPL captain lines up to take a penalty. The only one I've ever felt comfortable with is Harry. But I didn't until it rattled the back of the net and I was like, all right, we're right now.
Here's a question for you then, Sam. One word answers, please. Game week 9 captaincy. Salah at home to Everton?
No, lunchtime.
Or Haaland at home to Brighton?
Where's Madison?
No, just between them two for now.
Of the two, I'll go Haaland, simply because you can't capture someone in the 12th day.
All right. And then in game week 10, Salah at home to Forest or Haaland away at Man United?
Salah.
Game week 11, Salah away at Luton or Haaland at home to Bournemouth?
Haaland.
Oh, yes. That's a difficult one, isn't that? That's a difficult one.
It's the
one.
Home. You play the home.
I think so. You play the Haaland home, don't you? Yeah. But you're right. In the meantime, you've got Son and Madison doing Fulham, Palace and Chelsea. There is going to be a lot of debate over the next few weeks about captaincy. And I, for one, am here for it. I love it. The fact that we've got this conversation to be had now about the captaincy. What have we had? We've had, seven game weeks where it was just Haaland and it was just a complete non-event. Now, suddenly, there's a narrative behind it and I love it. Liverpool, definitely worthy of investment. If you were not going to go Salah, where else would you go? Would you go Diaz, yeah?
I honestly don't think I'd go anyone else before the international break. I don't know that you can guarantee the other start after the international break.
All right. And Brighton, from their perspective then, so let's have a look at their fixtures. Yes, it's the City game, but then after that, as well documented on this live stream last week, game week 10 onwards is unreal. Fulham, Everton, Sheffield United, Forest and Chelsea. I, for one, will be trying to bank a transfer to get back some Brighton players for that game week 10 run, because I don't have any at the minute. Sold a Stupinan for Porro this week. Obviously, I've never had I think early doors I had Matoma, but they might have sold him. João Pedro I had and then sold him. Had Matoma.
He missed a sitter today, by the way.
I've heard. I haven't seen it, but I've heard.
Absolute.
Yes.
You can't fathom how he's missed it.
Well, do you know what? The top three XG underachievers for Game Week 8, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area. And if you're not a member of Fantasy Football Scout yet, definitely go and check that out. All the links are in the description below. We use the members area here on my iPad every single live stream. An absolute hive of knowledge and wealth of knowledge at the back end of every game week. Top three XG underachievers, Sam. Richarlison, Mr. Sitter. Gravenberch, Mr. Sitter. João Pedro, Mr. Sitter. The top three... All missing big, big XG chances.
Richarlison missed a million and then went off, bless him, for no fault of his own.
Bad week for him, bad week. So Brighton, yes, not on the radar for next week because of that City game or next game week. But from game week 10, we will be talking about them, Sam. We will be talking about them. Where do we want to go next? We've spent so much time talking about our teams. Should we talk about Manchester United 2, Brentford 1? Good result in the end for Manchester United, thanks to Scott McTominay. What I'd like to ask you, though, given the... And I've only watched the highlights of Match of the Day, so I haven't... I'd like to hear from the Man U fans as to what they thought if you did see the game. Ross, what did you make of the game? What did you make of their performance?
I was unimpressed.
Really, really unconvincing, wasn't it? Really unconvincing.
But the thing is, I've watched Manchester United now a lot because they've been on TV quite a lot. And if they haven't been on TV, I've watched the highlights on Match of the Day because I was highly invested in Manchester United. I had Onana, I had Bruno Fernandes. Both went on wildcard. Don't regret selling either of them.
No.
I started watching this game and I was a little bit concerned about getting rid of Bruno Fernandes. No, I wasn't concerned at all about getting rid of Onana. But Bruno Fernandes I was a little bit concerned about because... The underlying stats have still looked fairly decent. He's on penalties. He's look at the end of the day. He's the Manchester.
Always
United,
a risk to take him out.
He's the
always,
Manchester
yeah,
United
yeah.
captain. It's a home fixture where, generally speaking, they do better. It's a risk. I watched the game and was like, that
yeah.
is actually how I felt. Like it was just they were just unconvincing. I think is the right phrase, and.
I was so unconvinced, and this might be my Liverpool goggles going on, so feel free to come at me in the chat. But I was so unconvinced by the post-match, right? The post-match interviews, you had Ten Hag and you had a couple of the players coming out. Yeah, that's the sort of, we've got to show character. You know, we're together as a club, we're full of spirit. I was like, it's bollocks. No, you're not. I've never seen a more fractured squad in my life. It was a really abject performance. And until they stuck McTominay up there, and by the way, he's played that similar-ish position for Scotland before, reasonably successfully. So
he made
I don't know why
difference.
He's dicking about at CDM for that long, because stick him up front and just go direct.
He made a big difference.
They just went long to him, and it worked out, and it worked for them. You know, Frank will be absolute, and was seething at the end of the game, rightly so, because they were both... They were good goals. The first goal was well taken, to be fair. The header, could the keeper have saved it? I don't know, probably not. So two good goals from McTominay, but still, you know, 94 minutes into the game, you're 1-0 up away from home. You've got to see that out. You just have to see it out. It's just a disaster.
Well, as Thomas Frank said at the end of the game, he said if it had finished 1-1, they'd have been disappointed, as it was, to lose the game.
Yeah.
That's pretty devastating. You can't really be in that position. You get 93rd and 97th minute.
Yeah,
can't Brentford... I know they were without Flecken because he was ill, but you can't... You just can't let a league go like that.
I've heard, and at this... I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I'm pretty sure I saw on Twitter or somewhere that McTominay's got like a ridiculous amount of transfers in already. Like... hundreds of thousands of transfers in already.
Has he?
Yeah, something like that. Never underestimate the FPL buying power of the Man United fans, right? But anyway, don't bring McTominay into your FPL
team. Don't do anything yet unless you're wild carding.
Please don't do that. You've only got 5 midfielder slots and they're all precious in FPL. You don't want to waste one on McTominay. Christ almighty. Not impressed. Very interested to see how Marcus Rashford gets on.
He's the most transferred in across United.
I'm not surprised. Very interested to see how Marcus Rashford gets on for England over the international break. I suspect pretty good. I suspect good, because he'll be out of that atmosphere and into St George's Park. Brentford then, very quickly, because we're running out of time, Sam. This is only game 3 that we've covered. Brentford. The fixtures look like this. Next week, Burnley at home. Then it gets more difficult. Chelsea, West Ham, Liverpool, Arsenal, Luton. Am I mad for keeping Mbeumo for one more week? Or should I sell at all costs? What should I be doing with
him? Well, I think it depends on whether that's the weakest point of your team. In my view...
My bus team looks all right for next week.
I don't think that I've seen anything from Mbeumo since game week... four-ish, that would make me want to keep him for another week, even if the game is Burnley.
Too many good other options in midfield, aren't there? Too many other good options.
It just feels like every week he's either not quite in the right place or in terms of his position in the Brentford team to get the returns, or Brentford aren't scoring enough goals, or it just always feels like... Or, as you say, there's somebody else in another team that's playing... better that you can invest in again. The one one thing that would play in the back of my mind is, if you keep him for Burnley, it's an easy route to Matoma for game week 10 when the Brighton fixtures change.
True enough. Yes, true enough. It could be a placeholder for that, couldn't he? Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I think I also, and again, this is just what I was reading on Twitter on the way back from the Arsenal game, is Flecken out for some time?
Is he ill?
Ill for this game, but I have heard that his illness is quite bad and he's out until mid-November.
What?
I think I read...
Ill for that long?
I think I read that. So guys, keep an eye out for that. If you're a Flecken owner, keep an eye out for news. He's not, unfortunately for him, he's not the sort of player. Like if this was a Haaland or a Son, we'd all know about it, be in the news. But I don't think Flecken's a sort of player that, you know, we're all going to know about his fitness regularly. But keep an eye out for that.
Wow.
If he is out for some time, that's a real, obviously it's a shame for him. Big shame for his owners as well, because that game week 9, when Areola's going away to Aston Villa, I absolutely wanted to play Flecken at home to Burnley. But yeah, if he's out for... Yeah, FPL Yellow Army, yeah, in the chat. Yeah, an undisclosed illness. It all seemed... I saw a couple of tweets. There was nothing very conclusive and it was all very vague. But, you know, an undisclosed illness for a few weeks. So, yeah.
A few weeks?
Well, hopefully he's all right. Hopefully he's all right because...
He came down with it in the morning off. That sounds terrible.
Don't know, but I hope he's all right because that's being ill for 6 weeks is no fun, whatever it is.
I guess the good thing is that we've got the international break, so you can just have a see where what's being said at the end of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Where else do we go, Sam? Want to have a quick chat about Burnley 1, Chelsea 4. Chelsea back, what's going on? Sterling with a haul for his owners, if you kept the faith with him. 3 bonus points, 2 assists and a goal. Even Nicholas Bloody Jackson's got a goal with this game. What are we saying about this? Are Burnley just that bad or are Chelsea back? Is Pochettino got another stay of execution for a couple more weeks?
Yeah. They're not back. They just
beat Burnley.
They just beat Burnley. what I will say, though, Cole Palmer, Broyer and Sterling worked as a front three.
Well, what are we saying about Cole Palmer now? Is he on penalties as well?
Oh, it seems to be.
Yeah.
It worked as a front three. I think, actually...
Must be cheap, Palmer. Yeah. That's super cheap.
Is he 4 point something?
I don't know. The chat will tell us. But yeah, he is cheap.
I think one thing...
4-9.
There you go. One thing I will say about Broyer is... 2 games, I've been impressed by him in both of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're there. They exist. Fixtures are dreadful now.
I don't think you're going to invest
in Chelsea now. They've just got out of their nice run.
Yeah, bottom of the ticker here with Arsenal, which are the way that Arsenal are playing, I don't fancy them at all. Brentford, Tottenham, Man City, Newcastle, and then somebody else here that's being obscured by the Fantasy Football Scout Network badge. But yeah... not rushing to them.
No.
Not rushing to Chelsea. But Chelsea fans will be encouraged.
But glad to see Pochettino not getting sacked, because I do love him.
They will be encouraged by that performance. Nicholas Jackson, 2nd overall in the game week amongst forwards for BPS. So only Isak was better than
that. Didn't even start the game.
Didn't even start the game. So that tells you the dearth of forwards and their performances this weekend. Let's have a quick chat about said Newcastle striker, Isak at the double for Newcastle. West Ham, though, fighting that game and scoring 2 goals past that Newcastle defence is no mean feat, even without the injured Sven Botman. What are we saying about these two teams? Did you catch much of this game or know much about it? We need to watch Match of the Day 2 here, don't we? Because this wasn't on TV.
Wasn't televised. I followed it a little bit, but I was watching the Liverpool game while this one was going on, so not really.
Interested to see how Kudus got on. I think he's a top player. I think West Ham have got a really good player there.
Annoyingly, I think with this game frustrated me more than anything else because I was wildcarding and I spent so much of the last minutes of my wildcard before we went on Sky just pondering on the Saka thing. I didn't really think carefully enough about my bench and who was going on my bench this week. And had I really thought West Ham and Newcastle are facing each other, I should play Gehi instead of playing Burn, that would have been a smart move. And had I thought probably should play Turner instead of Areola, had I actually thought about my bench properly... I probably would have made some different decisions this week. As it is, it was a little bit of a frustrating one because obviously no returns for Jared Bowen either in those goals, which as a Bowen buyer on wildcard, I was hoping for something out of him if they were going to take away that Newcastle clean sheet. Mm. But yeah, we'll have to watch this one a little bit closer on Match of the Day and see.
The one question that's coming out that immediately jumps to mind was second overall for chances created in the game week, Kieran Trippier. Third best for crosses in the game week, Kieran Trippier. Top first across the whole game week for touches in the opponent's half. Way more than second place Bruno Fernandes, who got 99. You've got Trippier on what looks like 120, 124. Is he worth that extra few FPL pounds over Byrne and Botman and Shaw?
It's not
all
a few FPL pounds.
Okay, well, is he worth whatever is the difference? Is he worth that?
2 million. And the problem with 2 million, that is massive across the rest of your team.
But he's got an assist here.
Yeah.
They've conceded 2 goals.
Yeah.
And he's got 2 bonus points.
I know. But we're going to get that. We're going to get that with Trippier. He's going to pick up attacking returns because that's what he does. And now we're out of that difficult run of fixtures. We will see that from him. However, you have to decide. And for me, that kind of decision is probably between somebody like a Saka or a Son or a Madison or a Haaland or a Salah.
Mm.
Take one of them away, and you can have Trippier.
Mm.
But with Livramento there in the... this was where my head went. With Livramento there in the background, whilst the Champions League...
We keep saying that, though. We keep saying Livramento on rotation every week, and he keeps popping up with points every week.
I don't think you were expecting him to... I don't think I was expecting Livramento to start this one. I was fully expecting Trips to start in this game.
I feel like I keep making reasons not to get him. Meanwhile, his owners are sitting there going, you need to get this guy. He's bloody amazing.
Okay, who are you going to sell to get him?
Well, I don't know, but that's the point is, he's popped up with a 6-7 pointer in a game where they've conceded 2 goals. It's crazy.
Yeah, but I just think that for me, anyway, is without taking out somebody that I consider to be a really important part of my team, I can't have him.
All right, well, so would you rather have Trippier or the equivalent midfielder? So would you rather have like an Mbomo or a Mitoma or Trippier? At the moment, I think I'd have Trippier from and I'd have a cheap midfielder.
From game week 10, though, I think you'd rather have Mitoma.
Maybe.
For me, in my team, it's not about that. I'd have to give up one of my big hitters to have him, and wasn't prepared to do that on wildcard.
Fair enough. All right. Any more that you want to talk about?
No.
No.
The other games today, I don't think we can really talk about because we haven't watched them.
That's true. Wolves and Villa. That's a good point for Wolves, by the way. Good point for Wolves.
But we can't talk about it because
Midlands Derby. You never know what's going to happen in that Midlands Derby. Sam, let's give a quick shout out to, before we get to our teams, Flavia. So Flavia Campos, well done and congratulations with 290 points throughout the month of September. Our manager of the month, our patron supporter, manager of the month, Flavia Campos. Tracy, who's having a brilliant season, by the way, and had a brilliant September. I was going to say pipped to the post, but there's nearly, like, what is that? Like a 24-point gap there. So Flavia, absolutely smashing it in the final couple of weeks. And also a shout-out to Olo as well, who got 264 points. So well done to all three of you. But it's Flavia that comes out on top. So congratulations. She will win a replica Premier League shirt of her choice. Doesn't have to be Premier League, by the way. Although she did choose, what has she chosen? A Liverpool women's shirt, if I remember rightly. So fair play.
That's and 2 months good we've choice. Sent out to ladies.
Flavia. Yes, it's all the
sent an
FPL
England
family
ladies shirt last month, didn't we?
Women's Patreon supporters absolutely smashing it. Absolutely smashing it. So yes, if any of you would like to take on Ola and Tracy and Flavia in the October Manager of the Month, then you can by visiting patreon.com/FPL family. And if you'd like to find out more about what we do at the other tiers, not just the Manager of the Month tier, but the Ohana tier where you get podcasts and Slack access, or the Zoom tier where you get the opportunity to speak to Sam and I, just like Warwick did when you spoke to him on Friday.
To Justin as well this week. Had
and
a couple.
Justin as well. So all of that stuff and more information is available. patreon.com/FPL family. And Sam, Flavia is in tonight and listening. So Flavia, welcome and congratulations. An absolutely stunning September. 290
Very
points.
Nice.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Can I have some of them?
Can we have some points, please? Yes, can we have some points? Right, let's talk about our team, Sam. Oh, we've had a quick super chat from Niall Plume, who's been a member here on the FPL Family Channel for 1 month. Hi, Niall. How are you doing? Good evening, Lee and Sam. Hope you're well. We are, mate. As a United fan, I wouldn't bring anyone from United at the moment, as this is a difficult time for United. Well, listen, just goes to show that I think our conversation, or lack of it, around Manchester United was probably warranted, to be honest with you. Not impressed with the performance, but United fans, listen, it's a good result. You needed to get a result there, and Scott McTominay got it for you in the end. Let's talk about my team first, Sam. So a green arrow in a week where many were playing the wild card. I had flags all over the place. I remember looking at my team just before we went live on Sky on Saturday morning thinking, if I can be par this week...
What was it that guy said to you on Twitter about your team?
What?
When you posted your team, what did you say?
Posted my team on Saturday morning, and one of the comments on Twitter was something like, that looks bang average or something. Or
no, it was worse than that, wasn't it?
I can't remember. Just somebody digging me out. I don't know. Somebody digging me out on Twitter. Who'd have thought it? But yeah, 56 points in a week where a lot of other wild cards were played. Lots of problems in my team. I will take it. I will absolutely take it. But for sure, Mo Salah has made it respectable. Because throughout the rest of the team, there's a lot of twos and ones in there. The Spurs boy is doing very well with 6 and 6. But outside of that, very, very average. Twos all across the front line. You know, twos in the middle there. It is exactly as I thought it was going to be. I'll be honest. I thought my Spurs boys would do well. And I'm all in on whether Mo can get me something. And yeah, he did, bless him. So well done to the Egyptian king. But elsewhere, the team was crap. But never mind that. The fact that Mo got the haul means, because he's still such a differential in terms of his ownership, it means I got a green arrow. So I went up 37% from about 1.05 to about 677. So 56 points. Happy. I'll take it. I'll take it. Listen, I had very low expectations for this week, but yeah, Mo's got me out of a hole, no doubt about it. So happy with the team as well, looking at it going forward. The question marks I have are my Brentford players, right? So I was absolutely wanting to play Flecken next week against Burnley, but if he's ill, I've got to do something about that. Mbeumo now, that's 3 blanks in a row. So since I bought him on wildcard, he's got absolutely nothing for me. Mm. So that is a player that probably needs to leave.
A bit like me and Whistler when he was with my team, right?
Yeah, but elsewhere, it doesn't look too bad. I'm happy to have my Villa players. I'm happy to have my Spurs players. Both good fixtures going forward. Happy to have my double Newcastle defence for now. And even City coming into a decent run. So I've got 2 free transfers going into game week 9. I would say that Mbeumo to Martinelli is on my mind. And I would say Kabore to Gabriel is on my mind. So Arsenal on my mind, in reality, ahead of a reasonable
can tell what you've been
swing
saying
of fixtures. Well, no, listen, I was impressed with them. But no doubt they will get more potent now that Martinelli... So assuming that Saka's going to be fit after the international break, which yeah, I think probably he will be. Let's
he's not going on
it.
International duty either, is
I
he?
I noticed that. Yeah, I noticed that. So he's probably going to be all right. So with Martinelli back, Saka back, and most importantly, in my opinion, Thomas Partey back and fit in the middle of the park, that makes them an altogether different proposition. Coming up against the Chelsea team, and I know Chelsea fans, come at me if you want, but listen, it was Burnley. And before that, they've not been playing too great. It's a different proposition playing Arsenal. And then after the Chelsea game, the fixtures for Arsenal are great. So Arsenal on my mind, no doubt about it. Green Arrow up 37%, happy. Happy, 677, still not where I'd like it, but whatever, I'll take it. In a week where there was a lot of wild cards played, 56 is absolutely all right. One more point for you, Sam, 57 points, a total of 492. So that it's like a 10-point gap. But this, do you remember the whole Gabriel versus Saliba thing in the first couple of weeks?
Oh, you're not back there already.
Well, that is the difference, isn't it? I mean, that's the 10-point difference between us. It always has been, and maybe always will be throughout the season, I don't know. 360k, up 44. Decent, right? But again,
the bench.
The Egyptian king's dug you out of a hole, wasn't he?
Yeah, because I'm looking back, I genuinely, and I know I said this earlier, but I genuinely think going on Sky was to my detriment this week. Because I didn't have...
Because you didn't have enough time all the rest of the week to think about it.
No, because I didn't think about my team's layout. So basically what I spent the week thinking about is who... And I made like God knows how many transfers I made, just bringing people in and out. And what I didn't really spend any time thinking about was the bench and the order that they were going to sit in or who was going to play in some of these positions.
Oh, Gaye 9.
Yeah. And had I really thought about it, I should have gone, well, of course I should have played him against Forest because there's more chance of a clean sheet there than I thought the Dan Bernard away at West Ham.
No excuse.
It's just silly.
Not having it.
It's what?
Not having it. No excuse.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's poor from me, but I do think that I do think that I dropped a bit of a clanger with that one. And the same with the goalkeepers.
Romel's in the chat. It's just like, this game's not for you, Sam. I think you should. Like.
No, it's terrible. It's terrible decision making. But it's a nice big green arrow going into
take
the international
it.
Break.
Yeah, we'll take that.
It's halved my rank again. So that's, what, almost halved. So that's really nice. Had I played Gahey and Turner, it would have been an absolute stunning week.
Imagine.
It would have been perfect almost.
Bit like me, though. His Spurs boy's doing well, the rest crap, and then Mo just doing the business.
Yeah, but then going into next week, obviously, I'll have a free transfer. I'll have to decide whether I move early for Arsenal or whether I do what I was planning to do, and that's wait until game week 10, have the two free transfers, and then move for a Saka or a Martinelli and a Gabriel or a Saliba at the back at the same time. That was the original intention. That feels probably what I'm likely to do.
Yeah.
I'll probably try and brave it out for the Chelsea game next time around, because I do have other options that I can captain. I'm fairly happy actually with the way the wildcard team landed. It feels quite all right.
I don't know if you'd feel the same if you'd have captained Son over
Salah. I was
Salah.
Never going to, though. I was never going to captain Son. If I'd captained anybody else, it would have been Madison.
Mm.
I was never going to captain Sonny.
Very much a head over heart decision, which we love to see in FPL, right? There'd have been a lot of FPL managers just like you, big Spurs fans, going, yep, Luton, great. And there was a lot of people wildcarding this week going, yep, Son in the number 9, home to Luton, let's go, loving it. And I would have been it, I think, for sure. If I had a wildcarded this week and got Son, I'd have captained Son, for sure, no doubt. So I would have come a cropper there because, you had the choice between the two. I didn't have the choice, landed on Salah and it's worked out for me. But you did have the choice and you still went with your head rather than with your heart and with Son. And that's to be admired, I think it's brilliant. So Mo doing the business for us both and keeping it respectable because the rest of our teams not looking that great.
Up on my bench.
Not on your except for your bench looking really, really good. That is it, folks. That is it. Let's talk about the week that we've got coming up, Sam. What is going on?
It's a bit of a quieter one, obviously, this week because it's international break.
Yes.
We still have an official podcast on Thursday with Kelly and Jewel. So that'll be out Thursday and we'll have another one the week after. We'll have an Ask Us Anything over for our patrons this week. So guys, I'll be coming in the Slack shortly to ask you for your questions, get your thinking caps on. And then obviously going back into next week or to the second week after the international break, we'll be back doing all of the usual content and building up for game week 9.
Need to get back on the TikToks, don't I?
Have you not been doing them?
Not really, no.
Why?
Not really. Well, just
have you been slacking?
Being lazy, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Stop slacking.
Yeah, I know.
Put your finger out.
Do you know what? All the content that you create on Instagram, like, you know, you do that like questions
the Q&A,
time thing.
Thursday chat.
People love that.
Yeah, Thursday
what you
chats.
Should do is like.
Oh, what I should do is do the TikTok.
No, you should, when you do them, record the screen and then I'll upload it as a TikTok.
Don't need or to record the screen. They automatically save to my phone.
Oh my God.
I've
even easier.
That.
Then
I've been
you
telling
do the
you
TikTok.
That for about a month.
Can you do the TikTok, please?
No.
Because that stuff would be really good on TikTok.
The
or find an app that will like.
I'll be
put
clear
them up at the
on
same
this.
Time.
The TikTok was your idea. You said it was going to be a good one and you've done no work on it.
I've done some work on it. Just
right.
Like,
when was the last time you put a TikTok out?
Long time ago.
Well, there you are. Right, well, there will be a Thursday chat again this week.
I'll put it on TikTok.
And Lee can put it on TikTok.
Yes. Yes. Love it.
I'm going to watch England on Friday.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. I hope it's a good game for you.
So do I. Very it'll good. Be my first time ever going to watch England.
First time ever watching England. You might be disappointed after watching Spurs for so yeah.
Well,
watching
maybe.
Spurs,
I'm
going to
go sit
exciting.
In the box at Wembley.
Are you? You're going posh England, are you?
Bobby Moore box.
Oh, here we go. Big time.
Can
Who are you going with?
It?
Going with Scout?
Yeah.
Oh, fantasy football Scout.
They said they give us some tickets. And so
give us some tickets. Am I going?
No, you're not coming.
Oh, brilliant.
You're looking after the kids.
Excellent. On that bombshell, folks, thank you very much for joining us. Lots of new names in the live chat today. So if you are new to fantasy football, if you're new to fantasy football, welcome. It's a great game. If you're new to FPL family,
about Scout.
If you're new, I was going to say new to Scout. If you're new to fantasy football, welcome. We all love this game here. If you are new to FPL family, though, then hit that subscribe button before you go. And for everybody that's joining the scene, thank you. Leave us a like before you go. Enjoy the little breather that we've got in between now and a couple of weeks' time in game week 9. We'll be back in a couple of weeks from now talking all things game week 9. Until then, guys. Cheers and see you soon.
Bye, guys.